Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are pursuing the life of David. I'm just doing a quick overview of the life of David. There's actually several books that have been released through the years related to him, and a couple of them are just massive books, you can imagine, because there's so much to be gleaned, so much to be learned, so much to be discerned. We're in the 25th chapter of 1 Samuel, and this is really, really interesting, this little vignette, this little moment that's going on. Remember what happened? David was hacked off at Nabal, and David was going to go and literally kill Nabal and all the men of Nabal. Well, Nabal's wife, Abigail, hears about this, and she knew that her husband was as his name. His name, Nabal, means fool. And so she grabbed a bunch of food together and went out to David. And we saw in the previous episode the beginning of the encounter. So I want to back up to the 23rd verse of this 25th chapter, because Abigail is speaking, and she says a lot here. And it's actually rather profound what's going on. I'm sitting here going, what's happening with this? Is she speaking some things from the knowledge that she has? Or is she actually prophesying some things? And I think she's definitely prophesying some things here, okay? But let's just wait and see. Here's verse 23. It says this: when Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, O Lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant." Now, just catch this. David doesn't know who she is. She appears. She's got these loaded down donkeys with supplies and stuff. But the first thing she says is, what she does. She falls at his feet. She comes and bows herself to the ground, falls at his feet, approaches him as a king, and then declares, "I'm the one to blame. On me, my Lord." And she says, "my Lord," several times this whole encounter. "On me be the blame." In other words, blame me for what has happened. Blame me for the fact that my husband acted the fool. Blame me that you're irritated and you want to come in here and kill everybody and that you're coming against us. Blame me. "But please let your maidservant speak to you." He says, if you want to, you can blame me. She says, if you want to lop my head off right now, you can do that. But first, please let me speak. And not only please let me speak to you, but listen to the words of your maidservant. This is a seriously bold act right here. But she's got a serious problem, and she knows that. Her husband's clueless. He doesn't know. But she knows. So she's asking not only to speak, but she is asking him to listen. She continues on. She doesn't wait for a response. Verse 25, "Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent." So she's letting him know that she knows what the situation is. She's letting him know she knows what's occurred here. Remember all this? We've covered this already. Verse 26. "Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal." So she's letting him know, hey, the Lord is the one that's controlled this right here. He's restrained you. He has kept you from shedding blood yet. He has kept you from avenging yourself by your own hand. So because of this, may your enemies and the one who seek evil against you, may they be as Nabal. May they just be fools. That is profound what she's she's prophesying this over. This is what's going to happen. Verse 27 now. Now, she's continuing to speak. This is Abigail. "Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Remember, David had just asked, hey, y'all got any leftovers? So she's bringing more than leftovers before them. Please, Abigail says, forgive the transgression of your maidservant. See, she's still owning it all. She's bearing it all. She's owning it all on behalf of her family, on behalf of her husband, the fool, on behalf of her people. Please forgive the transgression. For the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house because the Lord is fighting, or because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in you all your days. What? How can we say that she's not doing more? I mean, she's just prophesying truth over him. And she's literally letting him know that the Lord is the one that's going to do this. Now, did she know this in the natural? Had she heard that David had been anointed and all this kind of stuff? I would not think so. Had she heard that David was fleeing from Saul? Oh, yeah, everybody would have known about that. Okay. Wow, that's loud, isn't it? Everybody would have known about that element, what was occurring and what was happening. But this thing that the Lord's going to make him, my Lord, an enduring house because that David is fighting the battles of the Lord. People would have known about David fleeing. They would have known about this. But to describe this as the battle of the Lord and then to declare that evil will not be found in you all your days. She doesn't stop there. Verse 29. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. Man, she's just waxing poetic here. This is crazy. What she's going on. I mean, this is such an intense thing that she's declaring. Look at what she's saying. She said, okay, you know, you're fighting the battles of the Lord. Evil's not found in you. But you know what? Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord, and by that she means David, then your life is going to be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. You know that the Lord God has got a bundle of the living. In other words, he's going to be protected. He's going to be bundled up with the Lord God. He's going to be protected among the living. But the lives of your enemies, he's going to sling them out as from the hollow of a sling. Very, very vivid picture of what's going on here. But she continues, verse 30. And when the Lord does for my Lord, according to all the good that he's spoken concerning you, and appoints you ruler over Israel, she knew this. Did she know it before? We don't know. Is it the Lord speaking it through her right now? She's finding out herself as she's speaking it? We don't know, but she knows now. So even as the Lord fulfills all these words spoken over you and appoints you ruler, verse 31, this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause, and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. She's saying, I know that you're going to become king. I know that you're going to be the ruler of Israel. And when you become ruler of Israel, your heart won't be broken that you've shed blood here when you didn't need to. And your heart will not cause any problem to you because you've avenged yourself. She's warning him, don't avenge yourself. Don't shed the blood. And oh, by the way, when the Lord deals well with you, remember me. Is this not the most profound thing? 1 Samuel 26. Y'all go read this before you recline upon your nightbed night and see what the Lord speaks to you. We'll see David's reaction next time. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.